The center and the high point of every Mass is the Eucharist, when the body and blood of Christ is made present for us on the altar and then offered to us to eat. But even though we celebrate this extraordinary mystery every day at every Mass, many people still do not yet know about it, or do not yet understand it or appreciate it. So they're not yet moved to love the Eucharist, or to worship the Eucharist, or to adore the Eucharist. They simply don't know what it is, or maybe better to say, they don't know who it is, because the Eucharist is Jesus himself. So the Church, very wisely, sets aside one day every year to highlight this extraordinary gift, this extraordinary sacrament. And that feast day is today. Today is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, which is kind of a long title, so we often use the shorter Latin expression, Corpus Christi. Today's Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi means body of Christ. Actually, this mystery has many wonderful names. We call it Corpus Christi, we call it the Eucharist, which comes from the Greek word for Thanksgiving. We call it the breaking of the bread, because that's what it's called in the Gospels. We call it the most blessed sacrament. We call it Holy Communion. We call it the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We call it the body and blood of Christ. This is the most precious treasure that the Church has, by far. Sometimes people think that the Church is rich. They look at all the famous old church buildings and all the golden vessels and fancy vestments, and they say, well, look, the Church is so rich. They look at the Vatican museums and say, Church is rich. No, all that is nothing compared to the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is Jesus himself. Catechism proclaims that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life, the source and the summit, the root and the high point of the whole Christian life. So let's reflect on this for a moment. This is the feast day given to us to reflect on the Eucharist. It's wonderful, isn't it, to realize that the Lord would take something so basic, so ordinary, like bread, and transform it not just into some kind of a superfood, or not into manna, like in the Old Testament, but into himself, into his own body and blood. What's more basic than food? We hunger for food every day. We eat food every day, and if we don't have food, we grow weak. And if we're deprived of food for long, we die. That's how dependent we are on food. Food means life, and if we don't have food, we have no life. That's why we pray to the Father every single day, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Father, give us this day our daily bread. We need this every day. In the Gospel that I just read, we heard the account of the miraculous multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus fed over 5,000 men with those 5 loaves. It was obviously a miracle, and the people there were all very impressed by it. That's why the memory of that event is always recounted. Well, why did Jesus perform this miracle? First of all, because the people were hungry. He provided more than enough for them to eat. The Gospel says they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers afterward, a huge surplus. So Jesus showed in this miracle that he provides food for the hungry. But he was also doing something more at the same time. He was preparing for an even greater gift, for an even greater food to satisfy an even deeper hunger. After all, that huge crowd got hungry again. Yes, they ate and they were satisfied, but the next day they weren't satisfied. They had to eat again. Now, God, who is the one who created food in the very beginning and who created us with bodies that need food to live, he knew that food alone would not be enough. And I think we all know that. Even in the Old Testament, they knew man does not live on bread alone. We do not live on food alone, bodily food. No, God had in mind something even more important than bodily food. He had in mind spiritual food, heavenly food. Because what we hunger for most deeply is God Himself. Now, I know it's lunchtime and maybe people are hungry for food, but our deepest hunger is for God Himself. Even when we have plenty of food, and if we have plenty of money and plenty of comforts, and if we have air conditioning and big houses and swimming pools or whatever people can have, even if we have all of that, we're still not satisfying. We're still hungry. St. Augustine famously prayed, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Very true. For today's feast, we could modify that prayer a little bit. We could say, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are hungry until they are fed with you." There's a hunger that can only be satisfied by God Himself. But how can we be fed by God? How can we be filled with God? How can we eat God? Doesn't make any sense to us. God is spirit. He's not flesh. He's not bodily. How can we eat God? How can we satisfy this hunger? After all, since He's a spirit, He must provide a spiritual way for us to be fed. And that's certainly true. It's still true, but it's also true that when God became man, when the Word became flesh, from that moment on, God has been present in creation in a physical way, with a human body. Jesus Christ is God and man. And that body, the body of Jesus Christ, that body that was crucified, that body that was raised up, that body that was glorified, that body was taken up to heaven. Certainly the body and blood of Christ are in heaven, right? That's what we celebrate. But before that ascension of the glorified body of Christ to heaven, before all that, Jesus established a new way for His body to be in heaven and at the same time to be present with us here on earth. A lasting presence to remain with us. That's what He did at the Last Supper. In today's second reading, we heard St. Paul's version of the tradition that he received and that he handed on to us when Jesus, holding ordinary bread, said, "This is my body," and holding up a cup of ordinary wine, said, "This is my blood. The new covenant in my blood." Many people miss the heart of what Jesus actually did there at the Last Supper. He did not say, "This is a symbol of my body. When you do this, remember this symbolically." He didn't say that. It's not a symbol. The Eucharist is not merely a symbol. And today of all days, we should remind ourselves. We're not talking about a symbol. Now, the church loves symbols. We should love symbols. The church uses symbolic language all the time. We fill our church with symbols. There's a big symbol of Christ right there. That big crucifix is a symbol of Christ. There's another beautiful one over there, big statue of the Sacred Heart. We're getting ready for the Feast of the Sacred Heart on Friday. Big statue of the Sacred Heart. So yes, symbols, we love symbols. And the presence of symbols is important to us because we are bodily, and so it helps us to have things to see and to touch. But we don't eat a crucifix. We don't eat a big statue, I hope. We don't even think of it, because we know it's symbolic. The priest is a symbol of Christ, Catholic priest, a symbol of Christ. A priest, Catholic priest, is consecrated into the order of Melchizedek. We heard about Melchizedek in the first reading and in the psalm. The priest is in the order of Melchizedek to act in the person of Jesus Christ, especially at the Mass. But we don't eat our priests. I hope. Hope nobody eats priests. Not literally. No, the Eucharist is something else entirely. We're talking about a completely different thing. Not a symbol, but the reality. That's what this feast is about. Not a symbolic presence, but the real presence. Not just any sacrament, but the most blessed sacrament of all. And we do eat it because Jesus himself said, eat it. You know the famous passage, John chapter 6. Amen, amen, I say to you, this is Jesus' own words, whoever eats, no, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. That's how important this food is. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. John chapter 6, verses 53 to 55. And when he said these things, I mean, the people didn't know. They couldn't understand him, and they complained. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And that's the question that's answered today. How does Jesus give us his flesh to eat? With the Eucharist. By means of the Eucharist, the true body of Christ, but in the form, under the appearance of bread. So don't treat this heavenly bread lightly. This is not earthly bread. This is not ordinary food. This is not a mere symbol. Just think about how we actually treat the Eucharist, or how we should treat the Eucharist when we gather like this. We treat the Eucharist with the most profound reverence. We kneel before it. We genuflect before it. We adore it. We worship it. We reserve the Blessed Sacrament in a special sacred place, a golden tabernacle. When we bring out the Eucharist, we put it in a golden monstrance. We carry the Eucharist in a solemn and joyful procession, and everybody bows down or kneels down. Very beautiful, but there's more, because Jesus didn't give us the Eucharist just for us to bow down. There's more. He gives himself to be eaten. So we continue. Before we receive this gift, this bread of angels, what do? Well, we repent of our sins, because we know sin makes us unworthy. Sin defiles this temple. And if we have grave sins, we go to confession, because that's the right way to treat the Eucharist. That's the right way to treat ourselves too. And then before we receive communion, we fast at least an hour before receiving communion. We pray. The whole Mass is a prayer, but right before we receive, what do we say? Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Who's worthy to be a tabernacle of the living bread from heaven, of the living God? We say, I'm not worthy. And then when the priest or the minister holds up the Eucharist, what does he say? The body of Christ. And what do we say? Amen. Or amen. Every Sunday, I notice that there are people, not a few, who don't say amen. I don't know why. They don't say amen. They're just silent. Amen means, yes, it is. Yes, it is so. It is true. I believe it. I affirm what you just said. You said it's the body of Christ. I say, yes, I agree. I believe. That's what amen means in that sacramental moment. It's a very special holy moment when we receive Holy Communion. So we say amen. If you don't say amen, how can the priest or the minister know that you really believe it? If you don't believe it, well, then don't come up and receive communion. That doesn't make any sense. No, on this feast day, this is Corpus Christi. This is the feast day in which we proclaim, yes, we believe, yes, we adore, yes, we hope, yes, we love Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We love Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So on this feast, we do say amen, and we dedicate our hearts to him because he gives his heart to us, his body, blood, soul, and divinity in this amazing sacrament of the most holy Eucharist.